Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This podcast contains adult language and content. Listener discretion is advised. If you have a story to share, send it to letsnotmeetstories@gmail.com. Enjoy the show. I'm a 21-year-old female. Now, this might sound a tad overdramatic since it's been years since this incident happened, but I just want to get it off of my chest, especially since I've never really talked about it. This encounter was very creepy, and as I've gotten older, it's only gotten creepier. I've learned a lot from it, so I figured maybe if I share my story, it could urge others to stay alert. Something like this can happen to anyone, so I'm hoping that this helps others with seeing the signs. I live in rural Idaho, where there's not really much going on. My family and I don't live in the best area either, so there are a lot of suspicious characters around. When I was younger, I didn't really worry much about anything happening to me or my family. I felt invisible to all kinds of questionable things due to the fact that our family is known in this area. My grandpa was a known cop in this area for many years and was extremely well respected. People knew that he would fight for us, so nobody messed with us. Multiple children who are my age lived in the area, and it wasn't uncommon for kids to be outside running around by themselves before nighttime. The neighbors essentially relied on each other and the other kids to keep one another safe, and this tactic worked, for the most part. We knew what people to stay away from, and they knew to stay away from us. When I was in middle school, the bus started running at 7 a.m., so I had to be at the end of my long driveway by then to catch the bus on time. When this incident occurred, it was winter time, and the bus tended to be late during winter, occasionally. So sometimes I had until 7:05 or as late as 7:15 to get out there for the bus. In any case, I always made sure to be ready by 7 a.m. on the dot just in case the bus was running on time. My two cousins often caught the bus with me. One of my cousins is 4 years younger than me, while the other was in the same grade as me. The road runs straight in front of my driveway, so cars can be seen driving by multiple times a day. My cousins and I were always told not to stand at the very end of the driveway and always stay away from the road, or at least keep a distance, just in case a drunk or otherwise reckless driver happened to swerve or something. It was very cold that day, and the sun was just coming up as we were waiting for the bus. We were annoyed because the bus was late, and we didn't like waiting in the cold. I noticed that a car was coming down the road, but I didn't focus too much on checking it out or anything, since it was so common to see cars driving by, like I said. I do remember briefly noticing it before going back to listening to music on my phone. Then, I heard a loud braking sound, so I looked up and saw that the car was fully stopped in front of the driveway. The man that was driving the car was waving his hand. He was trying to indicate that he wanted us to come closer. I refused. I was frozen in my spot because this was different. This had never happened before. The man could tell that we were taken aback by this, but proceeded to say that he worked for a school. He said that he had just been hired and was lost. The school that he named was an hour away. It was past 7 a.m., so I immediately felt like he was lying. It didn't make sense to me since he should have already been at the school. There was no way he was trying to get to a school in a district that was an hour away. I immediately said that I was going inside to get an adult, and he panicked. He said that wasn't necessary and that he just needed us to get closer to him to show him where to go. I stayed put and pointed straight. I really didn't know which direction he needed to go, but honestly, that wasn't my main focus. I just wanted to keep myself and my cousins away from him. After I told him to go straight, he ignored me, and my little cousin was starting to move towards the car, so I grabbed him by his hair and kept him with me. I was shaking and trying not to show that I was scared since I didn't know what would happen next. I kept one hand on my little cousin and the other hand on my phone. Between shaking and wearing gloves, it was tough to make a call, but I was able to call my mom, who, thank God, answered. When the guy saw that I was on the phone with someone, he got out of his car. I immediately started sobbing. Between sobs, I told my mom that there was a man in the driveway, and I said I was worried he was going to hurt us. My mom then came running out, and the second that she got close to us and he saw her, he bolted back into his car and sped away. Another car that was just around the corner happened to speed away at the same time, and this made everything seem so much more sketchy. I had a gut feeling that these two cars were in on something together. I was terrified, but I was forced to go to school that day. My mom called the cops while I was at school, and when I got home, I found out even more horrible news that just made me realize my gut feeling was correct. My mom told the police about the car and how it looked and such, and they found an abandoned car that matched her description perfectly. It was just up the road, and they found out who it belonged to. The registered owner wasn't someone who worked at the school. The cops said that they thought the vehicle had been involved in trafficking from the looks of it, and they never caught the man who was driving the car. Who knows what would have happened if he got one of us? I'm assuming we would have been taken away and horrible things would have happened. It still pisses me off that he was never caught, especially since other kids were possibly victims of his. It's truly terrifying, and I have recurring nightmares of it. I definitely should have been more alert back then, but I was just a kid. I'm always on alert now. I was 13 when this happened. I lived right on the beach, and if you walked about a kilometer and a half down the beach from my house, you would reach a place where there was an inland lake. My friends and I liked to hang out in this area often. I should mention that there are two dirt roads leading into this area. Anyway, I had a German Shepherd back then, and my mother used to kick me out of the house every weekend for at least a few hours to go play with the dog. I don't mind this whatsoever, and often took our dog to the beach. There was a cliff above the beach that could be hiked to, which also led to the area with the lake. This cliff was covered in forest, and on this particular day, it was exceptionally hot. So, I chose to spare myself and my dog the heat and hike up to the forested cliff. I had done this many times before and wasn't afraid at all. As I was walking, I heard quiet, calculated footsteps behind me. My dog was off leash and far ahead of me when I heard this. I looked around and didn't see anyone, so I assumed that someone was trying to sneak up on me. Thankfully, they couldn't get away with this since it was nearly impossible to walk on the dry foliage silently. When I quickly made a run for it to the edge of the forest, I heard the footsteps become more audible. I was close to the lake, which was open in plain sight, and I spotted a girlfriend of mine there. My dog was already in the water as I went to greet my friend, and that's when we noticed a large man emerging from the woods. As he approached us, I started sizing him up. He was very tall, at least 2 meters, which is about 6'5" for American audiences. He was very slim, though. Once he reached us, he started talking to both of us very kindly, so my friend and I were polite to him in return. At the time, I didn't associate these suspicious footsteps that I heard with this man, but I grew to. When we were talking, he asked a lot about us, where we were from, if anyone was here with us, and so on. As he kept firing off questions, my friend and I were getting gradually creeped out, so we said our goodbyes and said that we had to go meet our other friends. Then we moved further down the lake. After we found a new spot, we sat down for a bit and started talking when my dog started growling. She never used to growl, so this took me by surprise. I looked around a bit to see if I could spot what she was growling at, and lo and behold, the man was standing about 50 meters behind us. When my friend and I moved again, the same thing happened, but he came even closer. We were scared at this point. We were being followed in a desolate area, and we were all alone. My friend called her mother and asked her to come pick us up. She agreed, but she was at least an hour away. Meanwhile, the more we moved, the closer he got to us. I had to put my dog's leash back on, as she was incredibly rabid about this man. Every time we looked at him, he was smiling at us as if we were his close friends. He tailed us until we saw my friend's mother's car pull up on one of the dirt roads about 200 meters away from us. In order to get to her car, we had to cross paths with the man, and I was terrified. When my friend's mother saw the large man, she started running over, which caught the man's attention and prompted him to dash back into the woods. Once he was gone, my friend, my dog, and I took off running. I don't think I've ever ran that far so quickly in my life. When we got to the car, we practically collapsed inside, and that's when the man came sprinting out of the woods again, running right towards us. We locked the doors and stayed in the car while my friend's mother called our version of 911. The man threw rocks at the car and wailed at us, but eventually he ran off when the police came. The officers questioned everyone and went looking for the man, but never found him. Honestly, I got really lucky that day. This all started as just a walk with my dog. I had no idea that my friend was out there at the lake. That was pure coincidence. So I don't know what would have happened if she hadn't been there. I didn't have a phone or anything for communication, so I'm certain there would have been a different outcome for me and my dog. I'm still terrified that he's in that forest, waiting for me. So to the creepy man who stalked me and tried to catch me and my friend, let's not meet again.
You know, if you can find the joy in the small moment, life will always be that much more fun. That's what Hello's oral and personal care products are all about. They take the mundane of every day and inject it with some everyday yay. Take Hello's anti-plaque and whitening fluoride-free toothpaste, for instance. It will brighten your routine and delight your senses with a formula that's equal parts fresh, friendly, and has plaque-fighting power. Or see the difference that a whitening toothpaste powered by vitamin C can do for your smile with Hello's Vitamin C Whitening Fluoride Toothpaste. With thoughtful and fun products that can make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to happy, to making the most of every moment. Say hello to a vegan, cruelty-free, and never tested on animals toothpaste. And say so long to dyes, parabens, artificial sweeteners and flavors, and other things you can do without. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
If you love true horror stories, you know that sometimes the scariest thing is a bad smell that just won't quit. Mando Whole Body Deodorant is here to help. It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. Created by a doctor, Mando is powerful on pits but gentle on skin. All products are baking soda and paraben-free, and you can pick from scents like Bourbon Leather or Mount Fuji. Mando's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 20% off site-wide with our exclusive code. Use code SCENT at shopmando.com for 20% off and free shipping. That's shopmando.com with code SCENT. Mando's got you covered. Protect your pits. Smell great doing it.
I was born in Moscow, Russia in 1980. When I was about 7 or 8 years old, my friends and I found ourselves getting into doing some dangerous shit. We would make smoke bombs or fireworks out of whatever we could find. There were lots of other stupid things we did, but that's one thing that stands out. Russia, in the late 80s, resembled the post-apocalyptic wasteland that you do see in movies. This was mainly because there was no law and order, and no one really cared. Anyone was able to buy crazy things off of the streets. Seriously, my father was once offered an old rocket launcher. Parents often just let their kids run loose and fuck around. So my friends and I would often run off and go into abandoned buildings, stuff like that. One day, my friends and I were hanging out, messing around, when one of my friends noticed a man lurking nearby. We didn't care since we were way too used to seeing weird shit. After a while, we noticed that he wasn't moving. He was just standing there. But when he noticed that we had seen him, he slowly walked into view. He was a large, bald man. He was wearing a nice black coat, likely an import, which was expensive at the time. He was also wearing some American sneakers, which were also very expensive. He didn't greet us or anything, but must have seen me looking at his shoes because he said, "Hey, like my shoes? I have more of them if you want. Come over here." Very few things unnerved me and my friends, but for some reason, this man definitely did. If you know anything about Russia during this era, then you know that this guy looked like someone that you did not want to mess with. Then my friend noticed that he had a gun tucked in his pants. The second that he saw that, he yelled, "Gun!" and he booked it out of there, which prompted the rest of us to scatter. We never saw him again, but sometime later, we were no longer allowed to play around that building where we saw him. I found out later on that a child had been beaten to death with a rock in that building right after our experience. It gives me chills to think about what we potentially ran away from. I wrote this story for my friend Jess. This happened when she was driving back home from her parents' house in a rural area in southern Germany. It was a late night and a relatively quiet ride until the road ahead was suddenly blocked by what she described as a large log. She was annoyed by this because this was the only road that she could have taken without having to drive for another hour or so back around the other way. When she got out of the car to further inspect the roadblock, she didn't notice anything out of the ordinary. Germany is pretty tame when it comes to wildlife and rural areas, so there aren't really any serious wildlife encounters apart from hedgehogs or deer. So she began to move the log out of the way. I'm not sure how long it took her, but by the time she had finished, another car had stopped not far behind her. It was waiting for her to continue driving. At least that's what she thought. As soon as she got back into the driver's seat and continued her drive, she felt as though the car that was behind her was intently following her. First, she assumed that it might be coincidental, because they were on a singular road with nowhere else to go. It seemed only natural that the other car would need to continue going along the same route as her. But she noticed that the driver behind her was driving suspiciously. and it only got weirder as soon as they entered the next town. The car continued to follow her, so she began panicking and called the police. She informed them of the situation and explained that she was driving home. She gave them her address so that they could go there and intercept the stranger as soon as they arrived at her home. She was already relatively close to her house, so she knew that it would take the police a few extra minutes until they could get there. So she decided to park a few houses away and wait. As she continued to sit in the driver's seat, she looked around to see if the car was still around, and it was. The stranger that was driving even parked right behind her. At this point, she had her pepper spray ready, and her car doors were locked. She was anxious when the man got out of the car and walked up to her window. He was waving as he gestured towards the back of her car. Confused by this, she decided to roll down the window just a tiny bit to ask what was up. The man explained that he had been following her to tell her that when he approached her car by the roadblock, he saw someone else sneak into her trunk, and he warned that the person was probably still in there. Jess was absolutely bewildered and terrified by this. She didn't believe what the guy outside her window was saying at first, but he then showed her the call log on his phone, since he also called the police. Once she saw that, she trusted him enough to get out of the car. Soon after, the police arrived, opened her trunk, and arrested a man that had been hiding in there. It turns out her initial stalker was a good Samaritan who was telling the truth and trying to help her out. Honestly, I don't know much about the guy who was in the trunk, but I've been told he definitely had ill intentions and was likely going to break into her house. Since I heard about this happening to Jess, I haven't driven around with an unlocked car. Many cars lock automatically these days, but the ones I drive do not. So, ever since this happened to her, I always check every window, every door, and my trunk before I get into my car. This happened 2 months ago. I live in a small college town, although I'm not a student or faculty member. My apartment is in a duplex on a residential street just a few blocks from campus. Most of the students had left for their winter break around this time, and things got very quiet. One late Wednesday night, I woke up to a disturbing sound outside. It was the sound of somebody crying. But not in a normal way. This crying sounded like delirious wailing. The person didn't sound grief-stricken or panicked, and there were no outright cries for help. Otherwise, I probably would have cautiously gone outside to check things out. It's tough to describe, but what I was hearing sounded more like someone who was trying to do an impression of a ghost. And honestly, it was a little too convincing, as they continually made these wailing noises over and over again. Not a pleasant way to wake up. So I got up and looked out the window, but I didn't see anyone. Not that I really knew where to look, since I couldn't tell where the sound was coming from. After a few minutes, the wailing grew distant and things got quiet again, so I went back to sleep, albeit a little unsettled. Thursday night rolled around, and I went to bed as usual, wondering if I'd hear anything again. Sure enough, I was awakened a few hours later, but this time the sound was completely different. At first I wondered if there had been a heavy snowfall because I heard what sounded like the edge of a shovel scraping the sidewalk. It was very rhythmic. Two plodding footsteps followed by long, drawn-out scraping. I got up and looked out the window where I saw no snow, but a dense fog, and a woman across the street. It took me a minute to focus on her since it looked like she was wearing some sort of strange hat, but then I realized that the hat was her hair. It was long and completely matted. It was bunched up into a single mass that looked like this gigantic, glistening hairball. The woman was standing with her shoulders hunched forward and her arms crossed behind her back, like a figure skater or a dancer. She was doing an unusual sort of dance where she would take two heavy stomps and then glide as if she were on ice skates. There was no ice. I couldn't tell how she was gliding so gracefully and effortlessly across the pavement. It was almost hypnotic to watch, especially since she appeared to be elderly and frail. Yet she was able to spin, glide, and maintain balance on a level that would have been hard for even me to keep up with. Each time she would glide, I would hear the scraping sound of her shoe against the pavement. There were no additional steps to the dance, just the rhythmic stomp, stomp, glide. All headed in one direction, before twirling around and doing the same thing in the other direction. After a few minutes, she stopped, and then she stooped down like a runner at the starting line. She dramatically leaned herself forward with her fingertips lightly touching the ground. She stayed in that position for a good minute or two. It was a very unsettling thing to see in the shadows and the fog. She then slowly stood up, turned facing away from me, and got up on her very tiptoes with her long, skinny arms outstretched. She broke into that rapid tiptoeing motion that ballerinas do, and without another sound, she danced away into the fog. I haven't seen or heard anything from her since.
You know, if you can find the joy in the small moment, life will always be that much more fun. That's what Hello's oral and personal care products are all about. They take the mundane of every day and inject it with some everyday yay. Take Hello's anti-plaque and whitening fluoride-free toothpaste, for instance. It will brighten your routine and delight your senses with a formula that's equal parts fresh, friendly, and has plaque-fighting power. Or see the difference that a whitening toothpaste powered by vitamin C can do for your smile with Hello's vitamin C whitening fluoride toothpaste. With thoughtful and fun products that can make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to happy, to making the most of every moment. Say hello to a vegan, cruelty-free, and never tested on animals toothpaste. And say so long to dyes, parabens, artificial sweeteners and flavors, and other things you can do without. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
There's a time and a place for a filet of fish, but breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
If you love true horror stories, you know that sometimes the scariest thing is a bad smell that just won't quit. Mando Whole Body Deodorant is here to help. It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. Created by a doctor, Mando is powerful on pits but gentle on skin. All products are baking soda and paraben-free, and you can pick from scents like bourbon leather or Mount Fuji. Mando's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 20% off site-wide with our exclusive code. Use code SCENT at shopmando.com for 20% off and free shipping. That's shopmando.com with code SCENT. Mando's got you covered. Protect your pits. Smell great doing it.
I'm a 19-year-old female and I'm living in the Pacific Northwest. A couple of months ago, I was looking for extra work because my hours at my regular job were shit. I'm quiet, anxious, and don't have many friends. So I turned to Craigslist. I knew that the site could be sketchy, but I was desperate to get some side gigs. I started pursuing Craigslist. One listing caught my attention. It was offering $50 for someone to take photos of a property using either a camera or device newer than an iPhone 12. I have an iPhone 14 and the job promised to only take an hour or two, so I emailed the poster and was soon messaged back. The man said that I seemed like a perfect fit and invited me over that same day. The address that he gave was to a house about 20 minutes outside of town. The house itself was small and run down. It was surrounded by dense forest, but nothing was raising any alarm bells yet. When I got there, the man who greeted me appeared to be in his 50s, and he was pretty unremarkable. He immediately invited me into the house. It was completely empty in there. No furniture, just dust and dirt. I asked where I should start taking photos, but he dodged the question and started making small talk with me. My anxiety was building as he kept firing off personal questions about me. I kept the small talk going, but he began staring at me intensely. I was nervous, so I dropped my phone at one point after we eventually started taking photos. He picked it up, and he held onto it a little too long before giving it back. As I kept taking photos of the house, he approached me. We were in the primary bedroom, and unprompted, he brushed my face with his hand and complimented my skin. That's when I regretted taking this job. That truly made my blood run cold, and I was done making excuses about the situation in my head. So I made a quick excuse about needing to leave. I can't remember what was said, something about my mom, I think. When I turned toward the door to leave, he grabbed my arm. He gripped it so tightly that it felt like it was going to snap in half. I still have the picture that I took of my forearm after this encounter, since it was covered in bruises. I had a small, retractable knife for self-defense with me. It was a gift from my paranoid mother, who would never let me come here if she had known where I was going. Without thinking, I pulled it out, and with the push of a button, I stabbed him in the arm. He let go of me, pulled the knife out of his arm, and started swinging at my arm with the knife, but I was already running out of the house. I got into my car and drove until I was at a gas station where I could try and calm my heart down. From there, I called the police and explained everything. They took it very seriously, and I went to the station to file an official report and answer some questions. They searched the property and the surrounding forest, but never found the guy. The house turned out to be abandoned, and in the basement, all they found was a pack of zip ties. Even though a report was made, he's still out there. I call the police station sometimes for updates, but they never have anything of substance to share with me. I've never told anyone about this other than the police. Not even my mom. Nothing like this has ever happened to me before, and ever since, I've had trouble leaving the house most days. I'm hoping that sharing this story with someone other than the police will finally help me feel like I'm getting this off my chest, but this encounter plagues my thoughts constantly. To the man who lured me out to that abandoned house, let's not meet again. This story happened to me and my girlfriend, who is now my fiance. To give you some context, we met online in 2015 and fell in love. We communicated via Skype for 3 years because we lived in entirely different countries until I moved to live with her in February of 2018. A few weeks before I flew out to her, she had made friends with a group of guys in her hometown, and I got to meet them shortly after moving in with her. This group of guys ranged in age from 16 to 18, and they would come over to visit us often since we lived close to the high school that they were attending. At first, I found it a bit weird that they would always come over and take up so much of our time, but they did turn out to be really good friends over time. One of them even agreed to be one of my groomsmen recently. However, back then, there was one guy in particular who really bugged me, Dan. As I mentioned, the guys would come and visit and hang out with us a lot, but Dan was the one who would always take up most of our time. This was in the sense that he would message us almost every day asking if we were home and if he could come over. He would then proceed to spend almost the entire day from morning to night at our place. He also went out of his way to meet up with us and often bumped into us wherever we went. It didn't matter if it was the store, a coffee shop, or another place that you could think of, he would always happen to be there as well. While I did find this to be annoying, there wasn't anything particularly creepy or weird going on yet. So I didn't think too much of it at first. Plus, we live in a small town where it's almost impossible not to run into somebody that you know along the way. I also only had known him for as long as my fiancé had known him, which wasn't very long, so I figured I was probably just judging him too harshly. Dan was in a long-distance relationship with a girl from another country whom he was hoping to meet in real life, just as my fiancé and I met. So I was at least able to relate to him in that regard. I decided to let my feelings of apprehension slide, but made a note to keep an eye out for any other suspicious behavior. The problems seemed to start once he started trying to incorporate himself into other aspects of our lives. He quickly made friends with anyone we had been friends with for a long time and tagged along with us wherever we were going to meet up with said friends. He would do this whether or not he had been invited. And he also started hanging out with our friends without us knowing about it. The instance that made me more suspicious of him was one time when we were going to hang out with a long-term friend. As the friend had finished her shift at work, we were getting ready to get into her car to drive over to her place. Dan suddenly showed up and joined us uninvited. I found it very off-putting that he would just invite himself along without our friend's permission. Then, later on, when we left her place to go home, the three of us passed his house, so my fiancé and I assumed that he would go home. But he didn't. He kept tagging along with us by coming up with an excuse for needing to get something else at the store. This was bullshit since it was late. All of the stores in the area were closed. So he kept walking with us. We were almost home when we had to put our foot down with him. We told him that we were tired and just wanted to go home and go to sleep as soon as we walked in the door, so we told him to go home. It took 10 minutes for us to convince him, during which he reacted awkwardly with this creepy silence. But he eventually did head home, annoyed. My fiancé, concerned that she offended him, asked if he wanted to hang out with us later in the week. What followed was weeks of him coming over to our place and staying until late into the night. He also started slowly leaving more and more of his stuff at our place so he would have an excuse to come over. And I shit you not, he once brought over a PS3 with a bag of 30 or so games, which stayed at our place for 3 months. At some point, we had so much of Dan's stuff at our house that people thought that he had moved in with us. Hence why the title of this story refers to him as a roommate. Among other things, he would get into arguments with our friends and told one friend who was goofing around at our place once that he would kill him if he didn't shut up. He also lied to us and made us believe that two good friends of ours wanted to report us to the police, and he allegedly hit one of our friends' girlfriends once. This was never confirmed, but I have no reason to believe it's a lie. It was like he was doing the most to have me and my fiancé all to himself. It was like he wanted to isolate us from all of our friends. The last thing that he did, which ended up being the key to us getting rid of him forever, was that he started dating my fiancé's cousin, MJ. He suddenly broke up with his long-distance girlfriend under suspicious circumstances and started dating MJ. As a result, whenever MJ came to visit, Dan would come along as well. One day, when we were in town, we met another friend of ours, and Dan insisted that we hang out with that guy all day when we had already agreed to do something else. When we refused, he and MJ ditched us to be with him. That was when we had had enough. We got into a huge fight in the park with him later that day. Some of our friends witnessed us as we told him off. We told him that we wanted nothing to do with him anymore and asked him to pack up his stuff and never show his face at our place again. This unfortunately resulted in my fiancé and her cousin not talking to each other for a long time. Now, as I've shared this story, people have asked if he had parents or what his home life was like, as that might have been what was affecting his behavior. He did have parents, but I never had any idea of what his home life was like. All I know is the hearsay I've heard about how he has violent tendencies that have caused his family to relocate him from their hometown. I have heard some hefty allegations there, but I'm not sure if any of it's true or not. But considering my experience, I wouldn't rule it out. We did recently find out that he moved out of his parents' house and he's now in a place of his own. One thing people tend to consider when they hear all of this is the possibility that he might have been in love or obsessed with my fiancé. While I do think that's entirely possible, I also know that Dan loved to talk about cars. He found out that my soon-to-be father-in-law likes to collect vintage cars and that he had recently gotten his hands on a vintage highway patrol police car. Now, Dan is a big schmoozer, and he likes to butter people up so that he can get what he wants. So, I think that he figured that if he got along with us well enough, he'd have a chance to ride shotgun in said vehicle, or maybe even drive it. There was never any chance of that happening, though. My father-in-law treats that car like it's his son, so there's absolutely no way he would ever let anyone else drive it, so tough luck, Danny. My fiancé and I have moved a few times since all of this happened, and we've blocked him on all of our social media, and we blocked him out of our lives. We know from mutual friends that he has tried to ask around to see where we live a few times, but our friends always have our backs, and they never told him. MJ and my fiancé recently made up after she dumped Dan, so now that the sour taste he left behind is gone for the most part, it goes without saying that we never want to meet him again. Buffalo, everyone's favorite slot game, is live on DraftKings Casino. Hit the reels wherever, whenever to play for Wild Western wins. New players can play $5 to get a spin on the mystery wheel for a shot at up to $2,000 in casino credits. Download the app and sign up with code MEET, M-E-E-T. Join the stampede with Buffalo on DraftKings Casino now. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility restrictions apply. One per new customer. Play $5 and spin wheel to receive between $10 and $2,000 in non-withdrawable casino credits for select games that expire in 168 hours. Terms at casino.draftkings.com/promos. Ends February 16th, 2025 at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time.
You know, if you can find the joy in the small moment, life will always be that much more fun. That's what Hello's oral and personal care products are all about. They take the mundane of every day and inject it with some everyday yay. Take Hello's anti-plaque and whitening fluoride-free toothpaste, for instance. It will brighten your routine and delight your senses with a formula that's equal parts fresh, friendly, and has plaque-fighting power. Or see the difference that a whitening toothpaste powered by vitamin C can do for your smile with Hello's Vitamin C Whitening Fluoride Toothpaste. With thoughtful and fun products that can make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to happy, to making the most of every moment. Say hello to a vegan, cruelty-free, and never tested on animals toothpaste. And say so long to dyes, parabens, artificial sweeteners and flavors, and other things you can do without. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. This occurred roughly 14 years ago when I was 12 years old and living on the east side of the Australian rainforest. What I mean by rainforest is that our house was situated on a 40-acre property surrounded by bush. The house itself was owned by a Swiss man named Hans. Occasionally, Hans would come down with his tractor and slash the long grass surrounding our house so that we could access it slightly better during the summer. It was also extremely handy, because if you know anything about Australia, it's that we have tons of beasties that can easily kill you. We live about a 40-minute drive from the small town center. This means that if we needed groceries, medical attention, or just to contact our parents while we were at school, it would be a 40-minute drive before anything could be taken care of. Our house sat on the side of a large mountain, roughly 3/4 of the way up, so naturally, most of the land that we called home was strewn with valleys, nooks, and hideaways. We had trails that we could walk, and they led to a stream and a small waterfall with a 6 to 5 meter drop. Although it was truly a beautiful place, it was considerably scary to me and my small siblings. I have one brother and one sister who are slightly younger than me. We knew our neighbors on both sides of the property, but since the location of our house was pretty remote, our nearest neighbors were roughly a 10-minute drive away. One was a lovely old lady who used to wave at us when we got off of the bus before we made our trek up to our house every day. The other neighbor was a middle-aged man and his family. He was a real jerk. He excavated around the bottom border where our property met and continuously interrupted the water supply from the streams and waterfall. Lots of strange and creepy things happen when you're living in the middle of nowhere. But one in particular involved a guy I certainly do not want to meet again. Since we're pretty far removed from people, it was extremely rare that we ever got visitors, especially not ones that we didn't know were coming. When people we didn't recognize turned up, it was usually because they were lost and needed directions. One day, a man in a ute came roaring down our driveway. I remember running inside to tell my dad that someone weird was pulling in, and he immediately walked outside to see who this unexpected guest was. A little background on my dad, he is literally the most hardcore person you'll ever meet. He has one leg after having the other amputated earlier in his life due to a motorcycle accident. He was running from the police at the time. He was in the Navy and was brought up in a very strict household. He had grown up in a very rough part of Sydney's West Side, so he had some pretty shady contacts as well. In short, he's someone you really wouldn't want to mess with. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he had killed someone in his life prior to having kids. Anyway, my dad went outside to see what all the commotion was about, while my mom kept us inside being protective. The man who pulled in had a large, red-furred dog in the back of his car. It looked like some kind of German Shepherd cross. It snarled at my dad, but immediately cowered when the strange man told it to shut up. Our own dog, Millie, renowned beast killer, just for the record, was snarling and going ballistic whilst being chained up to the house. "Hi, I'm John." The man spoke as though he were a salesman. He was a really slick and smooth guy who seemed friendly on the outside, but had an overtone of wanting something. My dad immediately responded, "So what the fuck are you doing here then, John?" The man was taken aback. He obviously was not used to dealing with someone as confrontational as my dad. They talked for a while, and I could hear my dad talking with a sense of confusion about whatever this man had to say. I couldn't hear much very clearly. However, I did overhear my dad saying, "What the fuck are you thinking? Just call the cops." I found out later that the lovely old lady next to us had passed away. John was on the other side of her property and said that he was visiting her when he found her dead. He also asked my dad if they should move the body to make it easier for the police to investigate. That was when and why my dad was telling the man to call the police immediately. Later that night, the police did show up and they took a statement from my dad and John, who was hanging around at our house until the police arrived. I remember my dad pulling the officer aside and explaining that John mentioned something about wanting to move the body when he first arrived. But the police left without any further questions, as it looked like she had died from natural causes. After the police left, John was still at our house. I found him to be very unsettling. The way that he smiled, there was this darkness in his eyes. He was unfamiliar, yet he was acting like he was just one of us. I remember it was a school night, and I was trying to watch TV, and he was playing songs on his guitar with my mom and dad at the table. I was angry because he was ruining my shows. I told my mom that I wanted to go and that I thought he was weird. She smiled and told me that she felt the same and told me that I should go to bed. Well, when I got up the next day, things seemed normal. My siblings and I went to school and had a normal school day and then came home. Not seeing the familiar face of the old woman stung a bit as we made our way past her house. It felt strange, and I remember thinking that I hoped that she knew her family loved her before she passed. I was a bit sad on that walk home until halfway down the driveway when I noticed John's ute was again parked out in front of our house. I walked closer and was greeted by his dog, Rusty. John then walked outside with my dad, and I heard him call Rusty to his car as he was leaving. Apparently, he returned to borrow some tools from my dad. He left and waved goodbye like he was someone that I was going to miss. And again, that sense of overfamiliarity made me feel uncomfortable. I just didn't know this man, and I didn't like him. I was hoping that he would never come down our driveway again. My dad then pulled me aside and asked me what I thought of John. I was quick to label him as a weirdo and told my dad that I was hoping he wouldn't come back. But of course, that didn't happen since he came back to return the tools later that night. And for the second night in a row, John was sitting in our house playing guitar and annoying everyone. As he strummed, my mom and dad were visibly unimpressed. I heard my mom and dad arguing about him, hanging around until eventually my dad told him that he needed to leave as it was time for us to go to bed. John insisted that it was still early and tried to make an excuse to stay. I found it to be very odd. Even though I was only 12 years old, I was polite enough to know when someone didn't want me around. So, why didn't this man? Or, if he did know, why wouldn't he leave? After ushering him out, my mom and dad had a big talk in their room, and afterward, my dad told all of us that he didn't like John. And he said that he was going to ask him not to come over anymore. He also added that if we ever saw John again, we needed to tell him immediately. The next day was a Saturday, so we were going to blow up our cheap inflatable pool and go for a swim as it was getting pretty warm. Around 11 a.m., the sound of a car thundering down the driveway put me on alert and I went outside. It was John. I then ran back inside to tell my dad that John was back. Just like the first time, my dad went outside to talk with him while my siblings and I stayed inside with our mom, watching and listening through the screen door. John again had this weird, overly familiar smile and dark eyes as he greeted my dad. Before John could say anything, my dad said, "Look, I don't know who you think you are, but I don't want you coming around here anymore. You're actually scaring my kids and my wife, and I don't want you to come back. Do you understand?" I didn't hear John's reply, but from his tone, it sounded like he was confused and tried to reason with my dad. But my dad wasn't having it. He told John that he needed to go, otherwise he would call the cops. As John was leaving, my dad said, "Now remember, don't come back, or you will be sorry." This was when things got truly weird. As my dad laid this somewhat subtle threat on John, his face completely contorted to one of rage, and he glared at us as we stood by the screen door. He then sped out of the driveway, shouting profanities and churning up gravel, spraying it towards our house. My dad then walked back up to the house and told us that we wouldn't be seeing John anymore. He said that if we did, we needed to call the police. I was relieved. This strange man made me feel uncomfortable in my own home, and the way that he reacted when he left confirmed the feeling that I got from him when I first saw him. I can't remember if it was the Sunday or Monday after that, but John did come back. He tried to reason with my dad and blindly apologize for whatever caused us not to like him. Before he even got out of his ute, my dad said, "If you don't turn around and leave, I'm going to smash your face in." And he did exactly that. My dad then called the police to inform them of what happened. The police said that they were going to go and talk with John, but I didn't hear any more of what happened from that interaction. A few weeks went by with no sightings or additional happenings with John, so we all felt like things were back to normal. This only lasted until we discovered that our mailbox had been tipped out of the ground and smashed, or possibly run over. I remember asking my dad what happened, but he wasn't about to offer up any ideas to me. He did later tell me that he knew it was John due to the way that their last conversation ended. The week following the mailbox incident, we went into town to get groceries and a fast food dinner as a bit of a treat. When we came home, as we were headed down the driveway, my dad immediately stopped my mom from proceeding and said that something was wrong. Next to the carport where we parked our car, at the back of the house, there was a window that opened to the bathroom. My dad must have spotted that that window was missing because he got increasingly tense until we all caught on and noticed that the window was indeed gone. Then we saw a man with dark eyes coming out of the window. My dad was exploding with rage and he told my mom to rush down the driveway so that we could, as he put it, fuck this guy up. The man proceeded to escape out of the window and run down the back of our property into the thick bush. My dad, being on only one leg, let Millie loose as she was tied up to the house and going ballistic. She raced down the hill and into the darkness. She eventually came back with nothing, so my dad went out with his flashlight, but he couldn't find anything either. I'm not sure if anyone slept that night. Even though the man was in our house, none of our possessions had been stolen or even moved. We must have caught the man just as he was entering. The police came the next day and searched for fingerprints, but to no avail. My father was furious and again alerted them about John and his strange behavior. They told us that they would look into it once again. That was the last time we heard from John that year. I had almost completely forgotten about him and had the summer off to enjoy myself and get ready for high school. The school that I went to was pretty large considering where we lived, but everyone seemed to know each other pretty well, including the teaching staff. Within my first week at school, we were introduced to all of the teachers and teaching aides. I was completely unaware when that familiar, dark-eyed man from the previous year was reintroduced to me as a teaching aide. But instead of being introduced as John, he was introduced as Gregory. I went into a little bit of a spin as I was trying to make sense of it all. I was 100% sure that this man, named Greg, was the same man who had introduced himself to the family as John. In that moment, so many things rushed into my head. What if he did kill that old lady? What if he did not live close by? What if he wanted to move the body so that he could frame my dad? If he lied about something as critical as his name, what else was he lying about? What if the police had never even made contact with him? I was sitting there for a good 10 minutes trying to piece together everything until the teacher called my name to bring me back to reality. And that was when he noticed me. The look on his face when he saw mine was one that I'll never forget. He immediately recognized me. He looked shocked His eyes immediately went wide and he didn't say anything. As he stared at me, I felt like I had just found out his dirty little secret. And I sensed that he was now the one feeling uncomfortable and on edge. Later that day, I rushed home to tell my dad about who I found. He was shocked and repeatedly asked me if I was sure. My dad went to the school with me the next day and we discovered that the man had put in for an indefinite leave the day before and may not return. When we learned of this, my dad told me to be on the lookout and let him know should John or Greg ever return. So, John, Greg, whoever you are, let's not meet again. Thanks for listening. Stick around after the music for your extended version of this week's episode if you're a patron. If you want to get access, head over to patreon.com/letsnotmeetpodcast to sign up and support the show today. You'll get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate, plus bonus content with stories you won't hear anywhere else every single week. This week you have heard I'm Afraid of the Roads at 21 by Dr. Pepper and Joyer 69. Creepy Man Chasing Me and My Friend by Shark Teeth, The Man in the Black Jacket by Anonymous, Why You Shouldn't Get Out of the Car at Night by No Insurance, The Ballerina by Anonymous, I Was Almost the Victim of a Craigslist Ad by B, Uninvited Roommate by M. James 1993, and finally, Weirdo of the Wilderness by S.J. Hole Zero. All of the stories you've heard this week were narrated and produced with the permission of their respective authors. Let's Not Meet, a true horror podcast, is not associated with Reddit or any other message boards online. Make sure you send your stories in to letsnotmeetstories@gmail.com if you'd like to hear them on the show. Finally, be sure to check out the new episodes of my other podcasts, like Odd Trails, a true paranormal podcast, Cryptic Encounters, and the Old Time Radio Cast, all at crypticcountypodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Everyone, stay safe. This happened to me 12 years ago when I was 18, despite happening so long ago.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello.
Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.